excited to have Catherine T. Kelly, the author of Soul Health Aligning with Spirit for Radiant Living, here today. I can't wait to hear what Catherine has to share with us about her soul health model and how we can bring these ideas into our everyday lives. I've been reading her book voraciously over the last couple of days. I'm on chapter 8, and I just love what she has to say. Before we get started, though, I want to take a minute to honor you for taking the time to be here today or to listen to the replay. I know that 5 p.m. Pacific can be a hard time for families and work, getting home from work, but you're taking some time to slow down, to learn about creating some balance, and that's a big step. Just giving yourself here, give yourself some credit for that. Know that each of you are going to find things that resonate and things that you can bring into your life to de-stress, simplify, or just change how you think about what's going on, which can change the whole emotional reaction to it. So without any further ado, let me tell you a little more about Dr. Catherine T. Kelly. She's the author, as I said, of Soul Health, Aligning with Spirit for Radiant Living. She's been named Pioneer of Soul Health. Her trademark, the Soul Health Model, is the culmination of over 23 years of training and work with health promotion, medical, psychological, spiritual, and holistic health venues, and offers the essential blueprint to obtaining optimal health and promoting your soul's evolution. And she's an accomplished author, speaker, consultant, and not to mention an award-winning psychologist and healer. When she was just 9 years old, her father suffered a disabling injury which altered her life forever, and it was at this early age that she first witnessed a major shift in whole person health. And as a result, the impact on her father's, her family's, and her home, her own human condition. She would not have recognized until several years later that this key event was actually the catalyst to the development of her soul health model. Throughout all of her endeavors, Dr. Kelly has maintained a thriving psychotherapy private practice where she uses her soul health model on a daily basis. She has presented the model to hundreds of healthcare practitioners, clergy, major corporations, and the public locally, regionally, and internationally. She offers a monthly newsletter, a weekly blog, which offers soul health observations and musings about the human condition. Dr. Kelly considers all of her experiences, both professional and personal, to be key contributors to the evolution of soul health model and soul health aligning with spirit for radiant living. Welcome, Catherine. So glad you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and can't wait to have a wonderful talk with you tonight.
Well, I am really excited about your model and your concept. I'm finding it very enlightening and I would say stretching as I look at some of the questions that you have in your book. It's a new concept for many, so can you describe what your model is?
Absolutely. I think it's a new concept in a couple different directions. And the first one is that most people consider health as just physical health. But over my many years of doing psychotherapy and wellness and holistic health kinds of activities and work, I have come to believe very strongly that there are actually 10 aspects of the human condition that come together to form whole health. And so from that perspective, I think it's unique that, again, I don't just consider the physical health as one of those, the only key concept. And I'm sure we'll talk about those other nine branches. But the other part of this is the whole idea of soul health itself. You know, to me, I think everybody has a really deep understanding and knowing of themselves, and they have this sense of themselves that something's not quite right in life at different times, but maybe they just don't know what that is. And so what my book does and what I do with clients and workshop participants is I help walk them through that process of listening deeply to themselves, learning to trust themselves at that core level, and also become advocates for themselves. And so to me, the soul part of us is really that essence of who we truly are. And as we get to know ourselves within each one of those 10 key branches of, again, what I call the human condition, we become more vibrant. We do create that blueprint and that whole understanding of how we can pave the way to, again, what I call radiant health or optimal living. So unique in the spiritual sense from going to that deep level, but also unique in the comprehensiveness or the whole health approach, which incorporates those 10 key areas of health.
Can you tell us how you kind of got this model, how you evolved this model?
Absolutely. Again, you know, the whole story of when I was growing up and my dad had an accident when I was 9. And, you know, at 9, you don't really realize all of the different aspects of life that change when you have a, you know, really traumatic and life-changing event like that. But fast forward to my graduate school years. And, you know, I was very fortunate without realizing it that I had started working at a student health promotion department of the university that I was receiving my master's degree from. And during that process, I learned the whole idea of wellness. And at that time, the wellness model that we were using had 10 elements to it. And as I was learning how to do therapy, as I was learning how to understand individuals from a psychotherapy perspective, I automatically started integrating this whole idea of the six concepts into the work I did, so that I would lead my psychotherapy sessions a little bit differently and from a whole person, or I wouldn't even call it a whole person, but a wellness perspective. So that made it, you know, the next level of my learning. And then as it evolved further, I realized that there were 4 more key elements missing and that I would hear day in, day out with clients. And so I really started expanding the model into my own model, which, again, the model itself is depicted as a tree with 10 core branches. And so those 10 core branches interact with each other in order to create, again, what I call whole health or soul health. And the whole concept is that it's a very interdynamic system, that when one branch is kind of out of whack, lack of a clinical word there, then the others are out of whack to some extent too. But when we start working on one of those branches to help bolster it and grow it and evolve it, well, then it just makes sense that the other 9 would also grow and evolve as well. So it's a very dynamic and interdynamic kind of model that, again, over probably the last 15 or so years has really evolved, probably longer than that, 15, 17 years. Gosh, now I'm dating myself. Now it's probably about 20 years now that I really think about it. But so the last 20 years, this thing has evolved to the point where then I realized that the soul part of this is really the core. So the trunk of the tree is represented as the soul, meaning that, again, we have this inherent movement toward growth. And just like the DNA of a tree, you know, the DNA of a tree automatically knows how to help that tree grow. And in my mind, I believe that our soul, our deepest part of ourselves, is sort of like that GPS system or that DNA in some ways, is that we want to grow. We want to move forward. We want to survive. And if we can learn to harness that and really understand ourselves at that deep level and start to work in tandem and partnership with our human condition, then basically we do get into this whole new level of experience as far as that radiant living and our optimal living. So this model really has evolved over many, many years. And at the point where I kind of identified that final branch, and it kind of put the cap on it. So it has been an evolutionary process.
Yeah, and it does seem like it's more developed and more circular, which has always struck me that life is fairly circular. So, you know, if one thing is out of balance, then something else kind of falls out of balance.
Absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense. You in early on you say to know your soul is to know true health. And can you describe what you mean by that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it kind of goes back to what I mentioned, is that once we get in touch or get sort of connected with that internal source, that internal wisdom that we all have, we just haven't been taught to use it, then it can guide us to really understand our human lives in all of those aspects. So, in other words, really exploring what we need or don't need within each one of those 10 branches of the human condition. So, for instance, for physical health, all of us need similar things, but, for instance, some of us need some different things. So, you know, I may really thrive on going for long walks, and that makes me feel vibrant, and other people might prefer going cross-country skiing. You know, so it's a very individual and unique process, but to know your own particular and unique soul is to know true health, because of that whole idea that we can't follow what society tells us or what a physician tells us or what some other form of authority tells us. We have to really learn to follow what we need at any given moment in order to feel vibrant and radiant.
Indeed. I need to dance.
There you go. Wonderful. Dancing's awesome too.
When we're talking about this, can even people that have like serious and chronic illnesses experience this radiant health? Like, radiant is a very powerful word. And if it's possible, how is it possible?
You know, I personally do believe that a physical illness or concern, whether chronic or acute or terminal, shouldn't preclude us from feeling that radiance. And the reason that I say that is that when I work with people, I get a lot of references from, or referrals, I should say, from healthcare practitioners for tough-to-treat kinds of physical illnesses. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that they know I've been trained in a lot of the holistic approaches and also the health psychology kinds of approaches. And oftentimes I get these folks coming in, and when I use this model with them, one of the things that happens is that they start to realize that the physical health, although it affects all of the other 9 branches, they start to realize it's only one of the branches. So oftentimes what happens with folks is that they take a step back and they realize that there's a lot more out of life than realizing that, okay, it's just my physical health that is making me radiant. So in some ways this model, what it does is it expands people's views to really look at the whole person health and really embrace those other 9 branches rather than just thinking it's the end-all be-all to be fully physically well. And so that's one aspect. And the other angle of that that I have found fascinating and wonderful is that a lot of times when I have someone come in who has been referred to me to deal with the adjustment to a pretty serious illness, oftentimes, although it's difficult for them to adjust, I don't know how many times I have had people say that in some ways it was the best thing that ever happened to them to get diagnosed. And that was because it really kind of forced them to take a look at their whole life and realize that they can appreciate so many other things, and that it kind of forced them to start taking better care of themselves or becoming better stewards to maybe their social health, you know, creating better relationships. Maybe it's they really took a look at the fact that they weren't having enough fun in life or leisure in life, so they really started incorporating that. So I personally do believe that, and I've seen it firsthand, that people can reach that sense of radiance or a sense of really good well-being regardless of a physical kind of condition.
That makes sense. Absolutely. And good for somebody like me who has a chronic illness is probably never going to go away. I have Crohn's, so and not Crohn's. Well, where'd that come from? I have celiac.
Okay.
So most of the time I have it totally, you know, as long as I stay away from gluten, it's pretty under control, but it's led to some other autoimmune diseases that I haven't been able to get rid of yet. But I think I can.
Yeah.
Now we're finding what else I need to do.
Yeah, finding the combination of things that will help bolster your own radiant health, absolutely.
Indeed. In your book, you talk about using gut responses to lead us down this path to radiant health.
Yes.
And can you talk about that? Because I know that, like, we talk in, like, the general population about gut responses, and I know that I've said to myself before, I'm not sure I can trust my gut.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we know when we can trust that gut response and how to lead us where we're supposed to be going?
Well, you know, we all, and I would say we all, I'm going to underline the word all, have had those experiences where we've had a gut reaction and we haven't followed it, and then the world kind of fell apart. And then we've had those gut reactions where we did follow it and everything smoothed out and worked really well. And so, you know, the unfortunate thing, I think, about our society is that we have been trained to use our brains much more than our gut responses. And so we question ourselves. So we might have that gut response, but it might be followed up with a whole lot of questioning or self-doubt. And, you know, I tell clients, workshop participants, that our heads can lead us wrong pretty often, our hearts can lead us wrong pretty often, but that gut response always takes us right down the path we need to go if we choose to listen to it. And that's mm-hmm. why I kind of say that gut reaction is the voice of our soul, is that it's there to help us. It's there to guide us. It is that sort of internal guiding system or GPS system that if we just learn to kind of turn down the volume on our head, you know, reasonably questioning things, but not over-questioning things, and turn down the volume on our heart responses or our emotional responses, and turn up that volume of that gut response, which, again, there's no drama to our gut response. It's just what is. And so there's really, once we learn to listen to that, it can really create this sense of peace as we learn to follow it, but we have to break through that barrier of all that self-questioning. So it's a challenge, and I wish that children were taught at a very young age how to follow that gut response and learn to distinguish the difference, because again, life becomes so much easier once you learn to follow that.
So can you go over again, like, how do we tell the difference between a head response and a heart response and a gut response?
Okay. So a head response usually is, I could give you lots of examples of what I've used with clients, but a head response is oftentimes we question. So it's the what ifs. It's the, gosh, if I did this, then what's the consequence? So it's there's a lot of fear oftentimes that gets wound up in our head responses. Our heart responses oftentimes are emotional responses. So they're sort of those tugging at our heart. It's the feeling guilty. It's the feeling drawn to something. So there's more of usually an emotional response to a heart response. And to me, the gut response is that there's really no drama to it. There's no emotion. There's no thinking or overthinking. It's just a message that comes. It's just a sense of knowing. And I think that's really the underlined phrase. It's that sense of knowing that something feels right or not so right. And that's kind of where that GPS sense comes from. And a lot of times when I'm training a person to start using that gut response, one of the first things I have them do is start listening to the yes-no part of a question. So if they can't get to an answer from that gut response, just asking myself, what does my gut tell me? If there's nothing coming or it feels like you're questioning, and oftentimes we if we're thinking too much, we pause, because those gut reactions or those soul reactions, to me, are very automatic. So part of it is learning to listen and kind of go to that yes-no response of, okay, does this feel right, yes or no? And you usually have this little gut response that says, yeah, that feels right, or no, that does not feel right at all. If that doesn't get to that gut response, then I encourage people to look at the sense of regret. And what I mean by that is asking themselves, whatever the example might be, what would I regret more, this or that? And again, your gut will start to sort of surge a little bit in the direction of whether you would regret this more or that more.
Mm.
And it helps.
That's so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, because nobody wants regret. Nobody wants to get to the end of their life and have all these regrets. And so your soul, I believe, really helps guide you away from regret by giving you that kind of that sense or that nudge right in the solar plexus area. And all of us have that pit in our stomach when something doesn't feel right.
Right.
So it's learning to trust that and interpret that rather than dismiss it and not listen to it.
Okay. That actually makes really good sense. Thank you. I want everyone to really hear that question. And I'm a powerful questions kind of girl. So that question is, which one of these would I regret more? To try to get your gut to give you that instant feeling that we're talking about.
And I actually encourage, I know this sounds really crazy and ludicrous, but I literally tell people to go exercise that sort of gut muscle or that soul muscle by, you know, when you're at the grocery store and you're trying to pick a head of lettuce, put one in each hand and just ask your gut, which one should I buy? And use your gut response, whether it's the one in your left hand or your right hand. And again, it's a really benign kind of decision to make, but the more you just start with small things and work your way up, the more it's like any other muscle. You just learn to kind of use it more quickly and easily and trust it.
That's cool, too. Yeah. When we're reading the book, you're really talking about soul health, or this working towards our optimal health or our radiant health, leads to our soul's evolution. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Again, this is kind of the spiritual aspect, is I think personally that we are all here to learn and grow and evolve. You know, I'm not one of those people that thinks that, you know, our game is over just because we've learned something and, you know, then we just coast through life. I personally believe that we're here to really keep thriving and learning and growing. And our soul's evolution, I believe that the most natural state that we can be in is that of unimpeded growth. And when I say unimpeded growth, what I mean is that we have everything kind of lined up for what it is that we need or don't need in life. So, for instance, you know, each of the 10 branches. In the book, one of the things I do is I walk through this process of educating people, again, about what that particular branch is. But then I have people start understanding, okay, what really is getting in the way of my growth, and what do I need in my life in order to really have that particular branch thrive. So I think the more we align with each one of those branches, so we know ourselves at that deep level and we create our life to sustain each one of those, you know, branches from where we need, it sort of opens up more and more that whole idea of growing no matter what. So that whole evolution piece has a lot to do with how we partner with ourselves as humans to really work with our lives, learn from our events, whether they're traumatic or difficult or challenging, really learn from those kinds of things so that we don't repeat old patterns, so that we outgrow old ways of thinking, believing, doing, acting. And that, to me, is what this conscious evolution thing is all about, is that we're supposed to outgrow our ways of life that just aren't sustaining our overall radiance.
All right. Yeah, that makes good sense. I know that when I let go of my previous relationship, one of the things that I really thought about was, how do I not go back into a relationship that feels like this one?
Right.
Because you watch people do that. And I did it by basically making myself some rules about not getting into a relationship for a while and just going and exploring life as a single person for quite a while, or really it wasn't quite a while, but for long enough that I really got a better sense of who I was outside of any relationship. So I think breaking those patterns, setting yourself up for experimentation and growth is a really important thing.
absolutely. And you just have to be conscious about it in order to realize that you don't want to repeat those patterns. So that's where that, again, that idea of conscious evolution comes from.
Right. And I think the soul health assessments that you have throughout the book kind of bring you right there. Can you explain to the readers how those work?
Yeah. You know, within each, since there are 10 branches of the human condition that I think we all have to learn how to deal with, what I've done in the book is I've created it sort of as both a book and a workbook, because I really want people to get the most out of this thing and understanding the model. And each chapter has a soul health survey or questionnaire about that particular branch that helps people, again, kind of identify more clearly what goes into each one of those branches that helps a person be radiant. So each chapter that signifies one of the branches walks you through ways to, again, not only know your soul at that deep level, but also start kind of working on your life and helping prioritize you so that you know which branch or branches need the help first. And so later on in the book, there is a more comprehensive soul health survey that incorporates all of the 10 branches and shows you kind of how it all goes to a deeper level. And then it helps you, again, the process is to really help guide people through this idea of creating that blueprint for yourself of ultimate health or wellness.
Right. Maybe we should kind of give them the abridged version at this point of all the different branches that we're talking about. So far we've talked physical and we've talked emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. So most people do think about physical health as being really the main aspect of health. But I really, again, although it's multidimensional, I just look at it as one of the 10. So being a psychologist, of course, I have to have psychological health as a branch.
Indeed. And then I have,
yeah, of course. And then social health, interpersonal health, financial health, recreational health, sexual health, spiritual health, environmental health, and then intellectual occupational health. And now those are not in any particular order.
Right.
But each one of those, I think, plays a key role in each and every one of the others. And, you know, a prime example of that is, you know, the financial crisis that hit 4 or 5 years ago is still playing a role in people's overall wellness. And so if I was just teaching this model to a group of folks today, and when I ask people what they think goes into overall health, they generally forget to add the financial health, sexual health, and recreational health. They may or may not get the others. They generally don't get the interpersonal part of it. But even today I said, you know, the minute I write this on the board, you're going to go, oh. And sure enough, as soon as I wrote down financial health, the whole group goes, oh, yeah. So, you know, each one of those branches plays such a key role, but we don't think of it in terms of health or radiance. We don't realize what a huge impact it has on our overall sense of well-being until it's kind of laid out there for you.
Right. Or until it's lacking.
Right.
And you realize, wow, I'm stressed and I don't have the money to do the self-care that I was doing before. And,
right.
Yeah, I'm not having the social because I'm not at work or, you know.
Right.
All of those various things. I think that example really shows how, you know, even environmentally, you know, you may not be taking care of your house as well, or you may not be, you know, buying the same cleaners that you once bought or whatever,
right.
That all stem from a lack of a job that you can't find again or that your spouse, you know, can't.
You know, and another really prime example, which I think is a health crisis in our country these days, is the whole weight and obesity thing. And I teach this model to each one of the clients or groups that I work with about weight management or weight in general, because eating disorders or weight, because each and every one of these branches has a direct impact on how a person chooses to eat. And emotional eating is such a complicated thing. And people don't realize that, gosh, you know, if they're not having enough fun in life, they're too stressed, or they're not having enough fun or leisure time, that a lot of people turn to food as their fun.
Mm.
And so that's only one example. If they don't have enough people in their life, a lot of times they develop this sort of social relationship with food where, you know, they'll sit on the couch with their buddy, you know, the bag of chips or the bag of cookies because it helps soothe them from the emotional level. Or say, for instance, intellectual health is out of whack and they don't feel like they have any control. Well, they're going to hit the vending machine at work several times a day. So this model is so useful when I'm working with people to really understand how complicated weight and eating and the relationship with food is. And so we could almost plug in any kind of concern into how this model affects each and every person.
Yeah, I certainly, I mean, I've been reading it and kind of plugging myself in as I read it. Interestingly, as I go through here and as I, you know, plug my process in, and the process that I've been going through to try to get better, it seems like the healthcare system that was supporting me initially is not set up for dealing with most of these branches.
No, and I agree. And that is one of the main reasons why I think it's important for this model to be out there right now, because I think it is so important, and it's going to become even more important for us to become advocates for our own overall health. You know, and when I worked as a professor at a medical school, the research that was out there showed that physicians spent about 5 to 7 minutes in the exam room with a person during their appointments. There is no way that a physician is going to be able to really look at a whole person within those 5 to 7 minutes. And so we have to, I don't think we have a choice, we really have to look deeper within ourselves to figure out what creates that whole health approach for ourselves. And, you know, that's really one of the reasons why, you know, I wrote this book when I did, is to help people, you know, kind of empower themselves and look at all of the different aspects that they could bolster in order to, you know, really create that sense of radiance for themselves, because, like you said, our healthcare system is not going to do it.
Yeah, and I could see where like finding a practitioner who was maybe outside of the normal system, even if they were an MD who was choosing to, you know, work private practice on their own schedule, or a naturopath or something like that, would lead you maybe to someone who's been exploring more than our current healthcare system would provide.
Right. And one of the beauties, and I've been having so much fun with this, is about the last 3 or 4 years, I've been using this model quite a bit to teach healthcare professionals for continuing education credits. And, you know, of course, people that go to those workshops are self-selected because they find the description and they say, hey, yeah, I want to go to this. But at the same time, the people who are going to this are really embracing the model and realizing, yeah, we really need to, you know, at least conceptualize patients from a more holistic perspective, even if our system at the time doesn't allow us to really address each and every one of those, you know, 10 key branches. At least they can start to conceptualize their patient care that way so that they can maybe bring something up that even a patient might not. So it's been a lot of fun to watch healthcare professionals really kind of take this and run with it.
How would you suggest someone kind of take this model into their current healthcare with their providers or even just their approach to wellness?
You know, one of the most simple things is basically to start asking, you know, some questions or even, you know, posing some statements to their healthcare providers about how they are starting to understand how A leads to B or C leads to D, or, you know, so in other words, just like the emotional eating kind of situation, if they start realizing that, you know, their eating concerns have a lot to do with maybe their sexual health, you know, then a physician might, or a healthcare provider might be able to open up their own mind about how to help a person from a kind of a broader perspective or a whole person approach. So I think if they can, you know, if patients can educate sort of the physicians and the physicians can hopefully educate themselves to work with patients and meet in the middle, you know, that, of course, is the most ideal situation. But I think the more questions patients ask about sort of that whole person approach, the more physicians or other healthcare professionals are really going to have to start paying attention.
Yeah, and I think possibly that same question, the respectful question of, you know, the doctor is not the end-all be-all, but would you think this would help? I think this would do some good. What do you think? And having and kind of bringing that as a partnership almost.
Right. Right. In fact, I just had a client today, now that we're talking about this, who has some pretty significant kinds of health concerns creeping up, and she's getting very fearful of it. But so she sees an allopathic doctor, a traditional physician, but she also sees a homeopathic physician. And one of the things that she mentioned today was that her homeopathic physician even said to her, you know, I'm going to suggest these things, but you have to listen to yourself for what feels right for you to take. Now, that's not usually the approach that most traditional healthcare practitioners take. And so she and I worked through this process of how to go through each one of those recommendations and listen to that deep sense of herself to see if that felt right for her and if it felt right now for her. Because it might feel right 2 months from now, but if that's not what her gut and soul are telling her to do right now, she's got to listen to that too. So, you know, I think, again, certain practitioners are really open to helping, you know, people make their own decisions, but you have to become that advocate for yourself.
Yeah. I kind of got lost in my own journey there for a second.
Sure.
in Soul Health, you dedicate an entire chapter to becoming a steward to our own soul. Can you give us what that means and how it enhances our health?
Yeah, certainly. So the word stewardship, and I love that word. The word stewardship goes way, way back. And in essence, what it means is that someone is taking care of something. And so the whole idea of learning to take care of your soul as well as taking care of your human aspect in all dimensions, it requires that whole idea of becoming committed to yourself so that you align with each and every one of those aspects as much as possible for your own optimal health. So that stewardship is really about making that commitment that at any given time you're going to choose what helps you feel aligned with that deepest sense of you. And, you know, and so anybody who is a steward to anything, really it's a no-brainer. They just automatically take care of themselves. They take care of whatever it is that they're committed to. And in this case, it would be, you know, not only care of your soul, but care of each and every one of those aspects of the human condition that will help you feel good and balanced and well. So I do believe very strongly in that whole idea of stewardship, which is why I did dedicate the whole chapter. And what that chapter does is it kind of walks you through not only how to kind of commit to yourself and be very discerning for what you need and don't need out of life, but it also helps you kind of walk through that whole idea of, again, what I call creating a soul health mission or a soul mission for yourself so that if you walk into a business, oftentimes you see a mission statement there that has been written to help really describe what the company is about and why they're doing it. And to me, that personalized soul mission statement is all about really understanding who you are and what you're about, but what you're going to do to create and maintain that at the highest level. So, you know, that chapter does really kind of walk you through and, like you said, create some stretching type of questions to help you become that steward and become very committed to maintaining that radiance as much as you can throughout your life.
Can you share with the listeners sometime when when you kind of realized that your tree wasn't really in balance and how you got back.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be an entirely ironic story. So when I left the medical school, when I left my professor position, went into private practice, and shortly after that, I started developing a holistic health center. And everything came, you know, although it was work, it was fun work, and it came together very easily. I mean, it was amazing what had all of the people that came together and all of the situations that kind of just aligned. And after, and again, you know, I'm a pretty determined person, and I'm willing to work hard. But I was working long hours. I was working my tail off, both because it was great fun, but also because it was a great deal of responsibility. And, you know, the financial piece was all on me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm busily creating, you know, this wellness center for people to make them understand or help them understand that all of these aspects of life are important. All the while, my own health was going down the tubes. And when I say health, I mean all of the aspects of health. And at one point, I finally realized that, you know, I'm so busy making everybody else healthy that my own health is suffering. And so I had to make a very key decision, and I kind of laughed. It's like, I very much believe in being a good role model to people for what I teach. But at that point, I was not being a good role model because I was sinking quick. Mm. And so, you know, there were so many of my branches that felt wilty or broken or sort of non-existent. And I had to make the choice decision to basically close the Holistic Health Center. And so even though it was a very difficult decision, it was also me aligning with myself again and becoming that steward to my own soul to the point where I could still do the wellness work. I could still create a whole lot of health and understanding about whole health for folks without ever having that center. And, you know, I laugh because I started writing, this is not the same book, but I started writing a book prior to opening the Holistic Health Center. And within the 3.5 years that I had the center, I picked it up twice to write. And that was not okay for me.
Right.
And so, because that, my writing is something that really feeds me. And so that was one of the other sort of decision makers for me, was realizing that I would never get back to my writing if I didn't stop that center. So, yeah, it's a great ironic story, because this soul health model really came out of me getting really wilty. So, you know, we are always, you know, the teachers are always the ones who have experienced their
Indeed.
Own stuff. And, you know, I've had some wilty times in my life, but ever since then I have been, you know, on this track of, you know, living what I write and living what I teach. So, yeah, I've been wilty just like everybody else.
Well, and I think, you know, probably you get wilty too, but you have better systems of warning at this point to say, whoa, wait.
Yeah, right. And because, and I'll say this so listeners can really hear this, is that, you know, the more you create a solid foundation for yourself of, you know, knowing yourself at each one of those, you know, 10 levels of the, you know, the branches, when the storms come, they don't feel as serious and you feel much more able to weather them. So it's another aspect of that soul health, is that the better and better you create your foundation or tend your garden, the less and less you react to, you know, events of the human condition.
Yeah, that makes good sense. When you have the good foundation, you know that you're safe and secure, then
yeah.
The rest of what life blows at you doesn't seem quite as forceful.
Right. Right.
So we all, you know, all of us are always looking for better, not all of us bigger, but certainly
right.
Better. But it's obvious, I think, just in life in general, and even talking about this 10, you know, 10 branches, there's a lot of work to get here to to a place of really being comfortable to say, yeah, my 10 branches are taken care of. What advice would you give to someone who's like, I'm too busy to talk about 10 branches of health?
Right. Well, and you know, that is a common kind of concern is, how in the world am I going to do this? And what I tell people is, you know, life is a process and so is health. You know, we don't reach good health and then we're done. We always have to work at it. And so it's really no different than doing anything that is going to, you know, kind of be a health or a health process or anything else, is that, you know, we have to do a little bit at a time. It's not that we need a major overhaul. We might, but we don't have to, you know, we don't have to do that overhaul overnight. One of the things that I teach people, and I know this can sound a little goofy again, is that, you know, your soul health only requires the time it takes to brush your teeth every day in order to get it moving in the right direction. And so a lot of times I will encourage people to, you know, it takes, you know, what, a minute or two to brush your teeth. And I will encourage people to take that 1 or 2 minutes while you're standing there brushing and flossing and all that to really think through 1 or 2 things for that particular day or that particular week that you want to work on that you know will help bolster your overall health. So it really does not take more than a few minutes every day to just become very conscious of, gosh, you know, if I did this for myself today, I would feel better by the end of the day. And it might just be the whole idea of, you know, gosh, if I pack my lunch today instead of going out to Burger King, I'm probably going to feel better. So, you know, it's making a quick decision or being mindful of something that if you hadn't taken the time to do, you might not have, you know, taken the action toward health later. You know, one of my clients who she came in, she kind of made me laugh because I had been teaching her this model. And she came in a few weeks later and she said, you know, I taped your model up in my laundry room. She said, so when I'm standing there folding clothes or folding towels, you know, the 5-10 minutes that it takes to do that, I can look at the model and I can sort of evaluate, you know, what I need to work on or what I need to clean out or what I need to fill up. And she said, it's the most private room of my life right now. She has 3 kids. she's got a husband and busy job. And so her quiet time, you know, is oftentimes in the laundry room or, you know, in the car. And she said, you know, it's her laundry room that has become sort of her sanctuary in terms of soul health, because she can take that 5 minutes or so while she's folding clothes to really just kind of glance at the model. And so it doesn't have to be overwhelming. It doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to get mired in one particular part of it. We just have to become conscious of 1 or 2 things that we can change at any given time or work on or work toward that are going to help us feel a little better. And it all adds up over time.
That makes good sense. I think one of the other powerful pieces that you talk about is a lot of other coaches and have pieces of this, and you have this big piece, but this big picture that you've really pulled together. But one of the things is the pruning that I thought was really interesting, the taking away of things that are not serving you.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. And you're right. I think we don't think about all the things we have to get out of our way in order to feel healthy and radiant. And I believe very strongly that we have to go through this process of cleaning out from time to time. You know, anybody who has a garden or even a house plant knows that there are times when you're going to shed leaves, you're going to shed some little branches, you're going to have to trim some things back, you're going to have to kind of prune, like you said, in order for new growth to happen. And a big part, I think, of our growth and our evolution has much more to do with letting go of things, whether it's an old idea, an old belief, an old behavior, an old relationship, you know, an old house, an old car, you know, whatever it might be. We have to clean those things out in order to pave the way for expansion or growth. So I do talk a lot about that throughout the book, and I talk a lot about it in workshops and with clients.
Yeah, and sometimes I think the one that was getting me when I was reading the book is these pruning of ideas about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what negative ideas are you kind of holding on to,
mm-hmm,
that aren't necessarily real or beneficial or...
Sure. Or what kinds of roles do we take on that really we need to divorce ourselves from in order to release some old ways and learn and grow. So, yeah, there aren't always tangible objects that we have to let go of. Sometimes it is sort of the mindset or the idea that we have to shift or let go of.
How has writing this book affected your life? I'm sure
there's so many different ways to answer that. It has, if anything, I think the number one thing is it's really helped me solidify my idea about whole health, because someone told me that I wouldn't know what I was writing until I wrote it, as far as writing this book, and they were right, because I had thoughts about what I would write, but writing it, actually sitting down and writing it, really helped it synthesize and really helped it come together. And so I really do try my best to live and breathe this model, because, and my perfect heck no, that's part of my human nature. I'm just like everybody else, but I know what I'm working toward. And so, I think in that way, it's really solidified my understanding of both overall wellness and health, but kind of our own purpose here as far as, evolutionary beings. But it's also helped really provide a tool, a very useful tool, to help people understand themselves better. And to me, I really believe that I'm here to help people grow. I think that is my role here. And so that creating this model and writing this book has really kind of been the vehicle in order to help people grow, which is, it's not even work for me. It's just great fun.
Indeed. Well, As to that last point, I want the listeners to hear, any of you that feel like you have a book or a message or whatever inside of you and it's not quite there yet, it's not quite, did you hear what Catherine said? That it wasn't there until she actually started writing it. She started writing it.
Absolutely.
And I think there are probably quite a few people out there in the world that feel like they have a message to share and don't know how to share it. So that is also powerful. So we talked a lot about your book and your model, but let's let people know where they can buy your book if they want more information.
Sure. They can. There's two different websites that you can go to that will lead right to me. One of them is thefullhealthmodel.com, and that will take you straight to the model itself with some more explanation. You can also go to drkatherinetkelly.com, so it's drkatherinetkelly.com, and that will take you to information about me, my psychotherapy practice, my events page. You can also sign up for a newsletter. I do a monthly newsletter. I'm also in the book itself. There's a book page. You can purchase the book either on my website or Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And one thing that I'm really excited about, and they should have that up in the next day or two, is that I'm offering, for the holidays, I'm offering a full health kit to give as gifts that is a copy of the book. It is a tote bag with the Soul Health model on there, bookmarks, and then also I had custom fortune cookies made with quotes from the book in there. And so
I think that may be up already, if I remember correctly.
Great.
Looking right now. it is. Give the gift of Soul Health.
Wonderful. Yeah, I sent them all the final information yesterday. And if people are interested in giving this as a gift, in addition to buying themselves a book, it's out there, and it's great fun. It's those fortune cookies have been a great hit.
Nice. And I bought it for my Nook and reading it on there. So I have to say though, if you are gonna purchase it, you may want a hard copy, because it really is a workbook in there too. So if you do buy it for your Nook or your Kindle, make sure you have your journal with you, because you're going to want to be writing lots of stuff down as you work through your own process. Catherine, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. I've had a great time. You're a wonderful person to speak with and made the time go very quickly, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for sharing with us, for sharing with everybody your model. I think if it resonates with anybody, they can go get some more information. Certainly is resonating with me. I'm going to be continuing to read your book tonight, I am sure. Just a reminder to everyone, if you want to stay connected with Catherine, I do have a pretty URL that's http://www.mindfullyorganized.com/soulhealth, and that will take you to Catherine's page in case you're not finding it. And if you want to join her mailing list, you can click enter on the right-hand side of her website, and that will take you to the ability to stay in contact with Catherine. Congratulations for taking the time today to listen to us. We're so glad that we could share this with you. Thanks.